Ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll be finishing up the book of Romans 8, not the book, the chapter Romans 8. We've been there for several weeks, and this morning we'll be looking specifically at verses 31 through 39. And Romans 8 is one of the most loved chapters of the New Testament, and it just has so much wisdom that can help us as we live in this world. I've titled my message, and you don't have an outline. There's a reason for that, because one, I didn't have it when I left. Two, it's really a one-point outline, and then I'm going to talk about the state of the church, and because it goes with that. But the title is Living Victoriously in 2020. Now, usually every year I'm glad when the previous year's gone. But it's not because it's all bad, but there's always some difficult, there's some good. But I, to be real honest, I'm glad 2020 is here. And I'm really glad because of Romans 8. And what we learn in these verses 31 through 39. For me, we left here on the 26th of December and we drove to Atlanta, Georgia. And we were there until we came back Friday, Saturday, Thursday. We went to Texas. I've been so many states. I don't know where I've been, but we started out in Georgia, ended up in my hometown, and then came back here Friday night. And here's kind of the way Christmas. We had a fantastic Christmas Eve. Had a fantastic small Christmas with just our youngest son there and Julie and me. And then we got in the car and took off for Atlanta. And I don't know if you've driven to Atlanta lately, but it's not much fun. It's just, you don't think 20 is ever going to end. And we got there on the 26th and we were tired. But we were there, and so we spent time with Julie's family and had a wonderful time. And on the 27th, we'd just been there, on the 27th, I get a text from my cousin Donna's, my youngest cousin of five girls that were born to my aunt, and she is telling me that my cousin, Karen's husband had passed away. Now, that wasn't a shock to me. The timing of it was a little bit difficult, but Lynn died at the age of 70. He is a 22-year survivor of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He had 22 years ago a bone marrow transplant, which was, it's not the easiest thing to have happen. And we had received a couple of texts recently from my cousin saying he doesn't want to eat, and he's ready to go. Now, Lynn loves his wife, Karen, very, very much, and he loves and adores his kids and his grandkids. But after 20-something years of fighting cancer, he was just done. And Julie and I talked about it, and we said, you know, there comes a point in life where you just trust what you believe and you go be with the Lord. And that's exactly what my cousin chose to do. He developed, unbeknowing to him until the end, a hemorrhage on his head. And it took him within 24 hours, which was a blessing because he was going to die slower of a lung-related disease. And that's not a fun way to go. So the 27th, I get that text, and then the request to do his funeral, which I wanted to do. It's just it was in Texas, and I was in Atlanta, and my suit was in Mount Ida. And the good news was I performed my first funeral without a suit. She said, Bill, he wouldn't want you wearing a suit. And so I had this on. And I did his funeral on this. And, you know, it's very difficult. I've been doing funerals for a long time. I never like doing them. I feel like I do a good job, but it wears me out. And it's just kind of discouraging, if you know what I mean. Well, I found out that on the 27th. At the 28th, I get a sweet phone call from one of ours who gotten bad news from the doctor, Betty Prince, and it just broke my heart. And we had a good conversation, and you know, that's not exactly how you want to spend your Christmas break with bad news. But folks, that's part of life, you know. And then the next day, I'm watching TV, or on Sunday, I'm watching TV, and there's the news about the gunman in Texas who came into a church service and killed two people before he was killed. And just so you know, we have already started working, and we will have in place protection for us. And you know, while there was a hero in the story, I kept thinking there's two people still died for no good reason. I don't care how good your security is. Part of living is sometimes dying. So I was like, oh, this has been not much fun. And then I started studying for today, Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 31 through 38. And the interesting thing about this passage of Scripture is Paul wrote it to the Roman church around 57-58 A.D. Little did they know that just in a few years, in A.D. 64, a guy named Nero would be emperor and would use many of them to light his gardens as well as to participate in the gladiator games and die terrible deaths. Little did he know when he penned this that they would need it just a few years later. And so this morning, is this passage of Scripture is so beautiful, because here's basically what happens is Paul is writing these last verses of chapter 8. He comes and he asks a series of questions. And these are rhetorical questions. And the resounding answer to each question is no one. And it's kind of like he's getting the troops fired up for life. And it's kind of like he's saying, hey, listen, guys, come on. No one can take away your relationship with Jesus Christ. No one can take away your faith. No one can steal what God has given to you. And it's, to me, it's like a battle cry that Paul has about the bigness of our God, the beauty of our God, in spite of death, in spite of suffering, in spite of trouble. And so let's look at it beginning in verse 31. He says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? And here's the first question I want to focus on. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And the answer to that is no one. It's a rhetorical question. No one. No one can defeat us if we have Jesus Christ, if we have a relationship with God. And look in verse 32, he says, and he tells us why. He says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Listen, because of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there is no one who can tamper with your spiritual security. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation, because he sent his son to do what you can't do, and that's forgive yourself of your failures. No one is able, and really, in that verse, it uses the word if, and it is a conditional particle. And it means basically that the answer is, because a better way to translate it might be, because God is for us, no one can be against us. It's not a question of whether God is for you. He is for you if you know Jesus Christ. And so Paul answers that first question, that no one can win against us. They may kill you, they may torture you, but in the end, you win. Why? Because of Jesus Christ.
That's good news.
Smile. 2020. There's not a single thing anyone can do to you to take away your relationship with God. You will never die. Physically you will, but spiritually you're always going to be alive because of Jesus Christ. He gets to the second question in verse 33. He says, "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own?" Who's going to accuse us of wrongdoing when God Himself chose us? You know, what a beautiful truth. You're saved because God chose you. He loved you. He sent His Son for you. And then he says, he answers the question, he says, "No one." And then he describes why. "For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself." Listen, my right standing with God is not because of me. My right standing with God is because of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus came and lived and died in order that He could accomplish in my life what I couldn't do. He forgave my sin. He gave me a new shot at life. And so regardless of who accuses you or who tries to condemn you, they can't win. No one can defeat you because of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then he gets to the third question that he asks. He says, "Who then will condemn us?" And the answer is, no one. No one can condemn you. And he explains why. Once again, it's the gospel. He says, "Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us." That's why He can't condemn you. He died for your sins. He died for you in order that you don't have to worry about losing your salvation or your standing with God. Do you deserve it? No. Do you get it? Yes. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He says, "For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." So Satan may be coming at you. The world may be coming at you. Health issues may be coming at you. But if you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear it. And then he asked the final question. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Is there anything that can separate you once you've experienced? And look at his answer. Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble? If you have trouble in your life, that doesn't mean God's turned His back on you. Does it mean we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, "For your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep." And then look at verse 32. No. No. Despite all these things that may happen to you, he says, overwhelmingly, victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loves us. So how do you get victory in life? It's Jesus. It's accepting what He did for you on the cross. And that word overwhelming means overwhelming. There's leftover. There's so much grace. There's so much victory because of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he says, "And I am convinced," I love that, convinced, not speculating, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Nothing. neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor fears for today, nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. Regardless of what happens today, tomorrow, in the future, because of Jesus Christ, we have overwhelming victory. And so as I was thinking about that, and I think of the beauty of that, and basically what Paul is saying is Satan and all his demons are going to come to try to discourage you and to take away your joy and to try to say life is not worth living. The overwhelming answer is he is powerless. No one can do that to us unless we allow them to. Victory. And then I thought about that, and I thought about how I wanted to end, because God has been so good to us as a church. It's been almost 2 years. 2 years ago, I stood here, 2 years in February, and we had 60 people maybe. And God has been so good in the last 2 years, and I want Him to do even more in this church and in our community, because I believe that we have a victorious Lord that we serve. And two verses to kind of kick off this next part that go along with that. You know, as Christians, because of the resurrection of Christ, we ought to be winning. I don't want to go to the church and just be a Southern Baptist church that plays church every Sunday morning. I don't. Y'all have known that. You know now, I don't care about a lot of things that pastors care about. I think I was up front with you when I came about that. I'm 61, I'm not a kid. You can play church and die, or you can live for Jesus and win. That's just the bottom line. If you want to play church, there are plenty of churches that are dying in the area. Go join them. I don't want to do that, because here's what Scripture says. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. He spent the entire chapter describing the resurrection and how important the resurrection is and the difference the resurrection should make in our life. Here's what Paul said. He says, "But thank God, He gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thank God, we've already beat death. We've defeated sin through Jesus Christ. But listen to what he then says. He closes this chapter. How should the resurrection affect you? He says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable." And then listen to this. "Always work enthusiastically for the Lord." Oh, you can get enthusiastic about sports. You can get enthusiastic about your job and people. But let me tell you what. When you get the resurrection, when you understand that death has been defeated, I believe church becomes something you get enthusiastic about. He says, enthusiastically for the Lord. And then he says, "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." That's good news. And then another scripture that just the Lord put on my mind was Ephesians 3:20. I love this one. He says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us." Now, the way the church does incredible things for God is the people. You are the church. Allow the power of God to work in your life. It's not through good preaching and good people. No, it's when God's power gets inside of God's people, then you get to see incredible things. He says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." I believe that God wants to do more in 2020 at First Baptist Mount Ida than He did in 2019. I just believe that. We are not losers. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. So what happened in 2019? I call them life groups. People say, why do you call them life groups? Because Sunday school doesn't do much for me. But life groups, I think a small group is where you get life. I really do. And we have small groups in our church. And this last year in 2019, we grew. But my favorite thing was we actually one Sunday had 100 people in Sunday school or life groups. Don't get mad. I'm going to call them life groups, okay? 100 people. See, our population is 1,000. It's almost 10%. That's cool. That was 2019. We added an adult life group. I am praying that we can add another adult life group this next year. You say, why? You have to get smaller to get bigger. And I would love to see us. But the whole goal of life groups, Sunday school, whatever you want to call them, is Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It's to make disciples. Not church members, but disciples. That's our goal. So 2019 was cool. We had 100. And we averaged probably in the 80s. I didn't have time to mess with that. But let's move to worship service. 2019 was a cool year. Just look. The transformation of not one penny was borrowed, and the project got more expensive every single week. I don't even know what the final number was. I was just glad God provided. And He's continued to provide. But, I mean, just good. God is good. Simple, plain, elegant. Good. But the cool thing was for me, we've grown in here because we just have. But a couple weeks ago, we had 175 people in worship. If we get 200, that's 20% of the population. Well, that's even better than 10%. You know, we still got a long ways to go, and we're finding our way. And one of the things we hope to do, well, one of the things we need to do to complete this, we need to put the banister back where it can come out and go back. That's something we just need to do. So Shannon, put that on the list. I want it down. Put in where we can take it out, but I want it down. Because it goes with the whole deal. But 175, we've done the remodel. It's been fun. At least it has been for me. And then this last year, on Wednesday nights, we have 120 to 130. We don't know how many come. They come like ants. Some of them eat, some of them don't eat. The big things for us is Sunday morning, Wednesday night. That's just big stuff. And we came in here, everybody will tell you it's not easy. Try feeding 120, 30 people. Bob does a fantastic job, and y'all help. Do you know how many people would like to have 100 and 120 people on Sunday morning? And you say, well, they don't all come to church. No, but they get to be here. So Wednesday nights has been great. Come, learn about saved people, but also help. Preparation for food and cleanup. And then in 2019, your giving was just unbelievable. We had a budget, and I don't even remember how many thousand we busted it by, but y'all did great. That's something to be grateful for. We went to the Dominican Republic, took 10 from our church, foreign mission trip, many other victories. I don't know all the things that happened. But what about 2020? So I'm going to tell you what I think. What my goal. It depends what you're asking for. If you just want to do what you did last year, then ask for last year's. I'm not. I want God to do more than, and I'm still on the safe side. But I'm praying that we'll have 120 in life groups. If you don't have a life group, I'm not going to come bug you. Probably never mention it, but you need to be in one. Everybody needs that account. It's fun. It's not bad. It's not Sunday school where we get a ruler out, whack you on the hand if you don't know the right answer. If you want to call it Sunday school, fine. But I got in trouble at school. I'd rather call it life group. Take school out, because that... But my vision is that we'll add another adult class. And here's a problem we're having with everything we do now. We're having to rearrange how we do everything building-wise. Because we don't have our facility, even though we've gotten bigger, it's getting more difficult to put people in places. Sunday school being one of them. But what I dream? I dream of 120 people coming every Sunday to study God's Word, make disciples, and make a difference. Worship. Well, I'm praying for 200. You said, where would 200 go? I don't know. Because there are only 186 seats. Is that right? If we get to 200, then we got a problem. We may have to do another service. That's a good problem to have. But why is that so important? Worships should be fun. It should be important. One of the exciting things we learned just in December is the number of students that we have in our community, in our church, that play instruments. We're wanting to, our goal is to be 50-50, traditional, contemporary. Everybody's got to be fair. I tell any senior adult, any medium-age adult, fair is fair. Everybody should hear their music and be able to worship. Everybody agree? If you don't agree, I don't care. That's just the truth. I want everybody, regardless of their age, to be able to worship. And what you may not like, somebody else may love. And that's okay. But we found out we got musicians. See, we heard a clarinet. Isn't that what you played? Was a clarinet. And we heard a flute. We heard a trombone. We heard had a ukulele. Is that how you say it? And found out she can sing. Taylor's not here, so I'll talk about her. I didn't know she could sing. I'm just dreaming of a full band that plays traditional and contemporary. And who have fun doing it, leading us in worship. That was a cool thing. I just didn't know we had some... I knew we had talented people, but I tell you what, your band director in your school does an incredible job. I'm just telling you. We have musicians. We don't have people just being in band. Tyler needs to know that, so tell him if I don't get a chance. But 200 is what I'm praying for. And like beginning next week, I'll start in Ephesians. I want to preach better, and I want to study more. It gets... As I get older, it gets harder, because when I was younger, I had all the answers. Now I don't. I have to study twice as hard as I used to, because I'm not either as smart or maybe I've gotten smart and said, man, it's not that easy. Wednesday nights. I don't know how this will work, but I want to have 150 plus. We're already... I don't know. What do you want to do? Pray for less? No. Wednesday nights is more of a discipleship night. I do a thing. I would love to have a healing church where on Wednesday nights we'd have grief share, we'd have divorce care, we'd have other options for people in our community to come here to get healing and help. You know, I heard a quote this yesterday, I believe it was, make your mess your message. I like that. Make your mess your message. Wednesday nights is when we do that. But to do that, trust me, we need more people to help prepare the food. We need more people to clean up. We need more people to help with all the kids. There's too many. There's not too many kids, but there's a lot of kids. And we have to have supervision. And teenagers the same way. And it's just, it's crazy. 150 plus. A mission trip this summer, if you haven't prayed and gone, we're fixing to hit that hard, June 12th through the 20th. We'll take another group through the Dominican Republic. If you haven't filled out a little card, it's in the bulletin, do it. Listen, it will change your life. Giving, I just pray God keeps blessing us. Because y'all have been very good. You've given away a lot of stuff. You've helped people in the community. We gave the pews to anybody who would lift them. I mean, we want to be a giving church. And not just to us, to those even out there. And y'all have done a good job of that. Student ministry, so much potential. This next year, I hope that we will become a family of students. I love our students. I just want it to be more cohesive. I want y'all to grow and reach your own kind. You say your own kind, y'all are weird. We all know that. Children, I want us to strengthen what we do with children. I want people to say, that's where I want my kid to go, because they're going to point my kid in the right direction. I want to be that place. It's going to take people. It's going to take resources. Probably my greatest prayer is for baptisms. You know, we baptized Dave not too long, an adult. Dave, adults aren't supposed to get baptized. Usually when they're over 17, they never change. Thank you for being willing to do that. But you say, who's got the target on their back? Everybody that breathes. Everybody that breathes. Good, bad, or sorry. Why? Because it's good news. Last thing is, we've talked about in the spring having some kind of community blowout. We're working on that. We've talked a lot of things. It'll come together. I don't know when, but we've talked about a big pig. What do you call, butcher Sam? You know Sam. He wants to kill something and grill it. It's just the way Sam is. But we've talked about getting pigs. I can't envision how this is going to work and go up here on the hill with, you know, a pig on a spit, and I don't even know what a spit is. I thought that's something you did. I didn't know you put it in a pig. But anyway, maybe have a couple of groups come and play music. Just a way to say to our community, we love you. They may never come back. That's okay with me. But to say, we're here. We love our community. Come eat. Come worship. Now, am I the perfect pastor? Absolutely not. We don't have our teams ready for 2020. I didn't have time. It wasn't as important to me as a sermon or a Bible study or a funeral. We will get it. Just time. So that's kind of where I pray. I hope you ask. I'd like to see Tuesdays be the place for people to come play dominoes. Somebody needs to be Jim and some of those guys like John that are down there dominating the table. We need new blood to come in. Right, Jim? You need to be dethroned. It all depends on you. God's power working in you to make all this come true. So, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you that we can't save ourselves, because we can't. We do a terrible job. I thank you that you did what we can't do. As we have a time of decision making, maybe there's someone this morning that doesn't know you and has questions. Lord, I pray that they would come and talk to me either today or sometime, because the most important thing we do here is about helping people discover the good news of Jesus Christ, because when you know Him, you're victorious. Maybe there's someone who needs to join and be a part of our church family official. We always treat people the same, but we love it when they make a commitment to us and join. But most of all, Lord, we're just grateful for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. Be with us now as we worship through the giving of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.